The Old Testament lesson is Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 to 7. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will bring you up again, and Joseph's hands shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, the little ones, and their wives, in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and Canaan to Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All of his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial which comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson appointed for this day is Matthew chapter 2, 13 to 23. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted, because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of our Lord. The hymn of the day today is Lutheran Service Book number 385. The title is From East to West. The text was written by Caelius Sedulius, a Christian author of the 5th century, and the tune comes from Leipzig in the 16th century. It is the tune that we know from Heaven Above to Earth I Come. So I think you will enjoy the hymn. You might want to click on the link that points to the hymn, From East to West. Our sermon today is based on the gospel lesson just read. The title of the sermon is The Holy Innocents and Other Martyrs. Our gospel lesson this morning hardly seems to be appropriate for the Christmas season. According to our cultural expectations, Christmas is supposed to be a celebration of joy, family, togetherness, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Tell that to the parents of Bethlehem the year that Jesus was born. Their Christmas was a dirge of sadness, with the loss of their babies, bereavement, violence, and ill will toward men. Our text is the traditional one for the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which commemorates the martyrdom of the children in Bethlehem by wicked King Herod. The story went like this. The wise men who came from the east did not know where the Messiah was to be born. They knew in a general way that he was supposed to be a prince of the Jews. So they visited the capital city of the Jews, where all the nobility of the Jews would be expected to live. When they arrived in Jerusalem with their caravan, they asked people where the new prince had been born. Word got to King Herod that the wise men were in town, and who they were looking for. He called the scholars and theologians, who told him that the Messiah was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Herod then called the wise men in a secret meeting, telling them to search for the Messiah, and when they had found him, to send him a full report, so that he could also come and worship the new prince. This was, as we know, a plot to kill his rival. Herod was an Edomite, not a Jew, and had been installed as king by the Romans, much to the chagrin of the Jews. The last thing Herod needed was a Jew with real royal blood claiming the throne. After the wise men had found Jesus and his parents and had worshipped him, they planned to return to Herod the next day. But God sent them a dream to warn them to avoid Herod, so they returned home by another route. Our gospel lesson picks up the story at this point. God then sent an angel to Joseph in a dream and told him to get out of Bethlehem as fast as he could. He didn't even let Joseph finish his sleep. In verse 13, the angel told Joseph, "Get up! Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." Not wasting any time, Joseph and Mary packed their bags, the gold and frankincense and myrrh from the wise men, and then headed to Egypt before sunrise. When Herod learned that the wise men had left without telling him where the new prince was located, he was furious. He gave orders that all males, 2 years and younger, were to be killed in Bethlehem and its surrounding region. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah 31:15 about Rachel weeping for her children. The Feast of the Holy Innocents has been kept in the Christian Church, in the Western Church, I should say, since the 4th century. In the early Christian Church, the death of martyrs was commemorated as a festival day, because it was the day in which they were ushered directly into heaven by the angels. The Holy Innocents were considered martyrs because they not only died for Christ's sake, as all martyrs do, but instead of Christ. In the Ologies of St. Jerome, they are called the Holy Babes and Sucklings. In the calendar of Carthage, used by St. Augustine, they are simply called the Infants. In England, their festival used to be called Childermass. Poets such as Prudentius, preachers such as Augustine, and artists such as Masaccio developed both the theological and human elements of this festival to a high degree. The most important aspect of the Feast of the Holy Innocents is that they are considered the first martyrs of the New Testament. They are harbingers of the deadly struggle between good and evil, between light and darkness, that afflicts the Christ and his church. Behind the hatred of Herod the Great stands Satan, the great red dragon, whose hatred of Christ and his followers is depicted in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Hear now what the book of Revelation says, chapter 12. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert, to a place prepared for her by God. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, that is, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's Revelation chapter 12, 1-6, and verse 17. In this vision of John, the woman symbolizes the church and the believers that constitute the true church. The male child refers to Christ. The red dragon symbolizes Satan and all who oppose Christ and his church with violence and death. This vision of John was true to life and to history, except for the Apostle John. All the apostles of Jesus were martyred. As we know from the book of Acts, Saint Stephen was stoned to death in Acts 7. About 2,000 Christians were murdered in the persecution at that time, for which Saul was partially responsible. St. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem by order of King Herod Agrippa in 44 AD, as reported in Acts chapter 12. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred. The martyrdom of other apostles is reported in the early church histories. St. Philip the Apostle was crucified in 54 AD in Phrygia. St. Matthew was killed with a halberd in the city of Nadaba in 60 AD. St. James the Less was stoned and beaten to death with the Fuller's Club in Jerusalem. St. Matthias was stoned and beheaded in Jerusalem. St. Andrew was crucified on a transverse cross at Edessa. The evangelist Mark was dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria in Egypt. St. Peter was crucified at Rome, upside down, during the persecution by Emperor Nero in 67 AD. St. Paul was beheaded by the sword in the same persecution. St. Jude was crucified at Edessa in 72 AD. St. Bartholomew was crucified by Hindu devotees in India. St. Thomas also preached in India and was killed there by a spear. The evangelist Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. St. Simon was crucified in Britain in 74 AD. St. Barnabas was martyred in 73 AD. St. John the Evangelist was cast into a cauldron of boiling oil, but he survived, and then was banished to the island of Patmos, where he wrote his book of Revelation. Until Emperor Constantine mandated the toleration of the Christian religion in the 4th century, persecution and martyrdom was a regular feature of Christian life. The Church endured 10 imperial persecutions throughout the Roman Empire before the violence finally came to an end. But Christians elsewhere, such as in Persia, Mesopotamia, India, China, and Africa, continued to be persecuted and martyred, so that the Church never really became established in those regions of the world until much later in history. The fate of the Holy Innocents in Bethlehem has been the fate of much of the Christian Church in its history. Yet in spite of all this opposition and violence, the Christian Church today has the largest membership of any religion in the world, and it has 60 million adherents alone in China, where it is still persecuted. Today we remember with thanks the faithful witness of all the martyrs, and we pray that our Lord would protect and keep in the faith all those who are persecuted today and until his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.